Well, hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Dream Highway Podcast. Like Jimmy Fallon would say, you're here, you made it. This show is all about... See, I've already screwed up my intro. I have a written intro here that I'm trying to get used to saying. And I thought I'd be all smart and interject something funny, and then I totally screwed up, which is fine. Because that's what I love about doing this completely live and not editing it, is that you get to see the real me. As the band The Who would say in their song, "Can You See the Real Me?" Let's give it a take number two. Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Dream Highway Podcast, the show that's all about inspiring you to go after your dreams and especially to enjoy the journey every step of the way. That's what we're here about. I'm your host, Steve Pedersen, of course, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. And today I'm going to be talking about misquoted personal development sayings. Now, I want to make it real clear up front here that this is not about me like trying to just vent some frustrations or trying to prove to you why I'm right or this kind of a thing. I find that kind of stuff like really, really, really boring and just, yeah, just insufferably boring to hear, especially religious folks try to say, well, I'm going to set the record straight. Listen, I'm not here to set any records straight or to prove to you why other people are wrong or anything like that. The reason that I want to share what I'm about to share today is because I believe that it will help you. I want to help you on your dream highway journey. And that's what this is all about. And I know for me personally, let me just give you a little bit of a backstory if you don't know already. I come from a very religious background. I was raised in a particular denomination, been going to church since I was like 7 years old, or actually before that. You know, I can remember as a baby crawling over the pews at church. So I've been, aware of church kind of stuff all of my life and have been going to church pretty much all of my life. And along the way, I have picked up some unhealthy beliefs or understandings or interpretations about the Bible. And one of the things that I'm doing now in my life is I'm sort of going beyond the church environment. It's really a wonderful day and age that we live in right now with podcasts and videos and the internet, because there's all this free exchange of ideas. And of course, you got to sift through and really, sort of test everything, really think through everything. It's kind of an arduous process at times, actually. But it used to be, I'm going way off script here. But it used to be, by the way, do you like the background? If you're watching the video version of this, I've got a sort of a fake background here. I've got a bookshelf behind me, which I think is kind of nice. But anyhow, it used to be, speaking of books, that the church that I'm a part of, and I'm sure this happened with a lot of people, this was kind of like before the internet. This is when people had, hard copies of books. This was before ebooks were ever invented or, online libraries or anything like that. Before podcasts, before any of that stuff, we actually read hard copies of books. And of course, in order to get a hold of those books, you had to, or in order to read those books, you had to get a hold of them. Like you literally had to physically hold them in your hands. And so what was interesting was, with that being the case, there's sort of a control of information, a control of what you're exposed to. And so, and I get it. I totally get it. Like if you're responsible for overseeing other people's, spiritual development, you want to you want them to be able to, you know, read stuff that's quote unquote appropriate, you know, that's approved. So, you know, that's pretty much what I had exposure to. You know, you read what they encouraged you to read. You know, obviously you didn't go to other churches, so you didn't hear really much other than what your own particular church fellowship was teaching. And, you know, so what happened was, you know, not everything that was taught was really spot on. If you can believe that, surprise, surprise. And so now I'm in my 50s, and what I absolutely love doing is going for bike rides, going for walks, and listening to podcasts and listening to all kinds of other different thoughts. And what I'm finding is that, oh my gosh, like when I learn something new, and especially when something is different than what I have always believed all along that it means, it's very freeing and very empowering to find out. See, subconsciously, you don't even know that some of the things that you believe are kind of holding you back in a sense. And then you discover the truth and it's like, whoa, that's amazing. And that's what's interesting is when Jesus said, the truth will set you free, that's actually one of the phrases or the sayings that I want to talk about in today's episode. So I guess that's just a preface to say about what I'm going to be talking about today is just knowing that I'm coming from a place of experiencing personal freedom and then wanting to share that with you. And so if anything, what I really am hoping that this specific episode will inspire you to do is to think more critically about the things that you hear and the beliefs that you have. Not, you know, I'm just going to go over a couple of things. There's hundreds of sayings and beliefs and things out there that who knows if they're really helping you or really serving you. So we'll go over a couple of them here, and then you can take what we're talking about here, this idea of challenging everything that you've heard and everything that you've believed, and asking, is this really what this means? So it just so happens today I'm going to be going over a couple of quotes that are from the Bible. I know oftentimes personal development gurus, they love to quote scriptures. However, they don't want to be associated with the Christian faith, and so they don't always say who said it, or they'll sort of kind of bunch Jesus in with other, you know, sort of spiritual gurus or teachers. Anyhow, so the first one that I want to talk about is the one that I just mentioned, and that is this phrase that I'm absolutely certain you've heard this, unless maybe you're like 5 years old or something, in which case, if you're listening to this podcast and you're only 5 years old, I heartily congratulate you for making a wonderful decision and getting your life off to an amazing start. But I'm sure that no matter what your background is, whether you are, you know, Christian or Muslim or Jew or not religious at all, or one of any of the, you know, many faiths that are out there, I'm certain you've heard this saying before: the truth will set you free. I hear it all the time. And there's also another sort of slight version of it that I hear, and it's just with the word no in front of it. So know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's often combined with this idea of know thyself. So know yourself, know the truth and the truth will set you free. You've heard it, right? I would imagine maybe you know that Jesus is the one that is the one that said this. And I think what's interesting is that I often hear people say things like, all the spiritual teachers, right? All the spiritual teachers will say things like this. And then they'll say, you know, people like Buddha and Jesus, and then that's it. Like, there's, you mean there's no other spiritual teachers in the world? And as if Jesus was like all of the other spiritual teachers in the world. As a Christian, I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus is far superior to any spiritual teacher, and that he's not just a spiritual teacher. But I'm not going to go into that. I'm not here to preach a sermon. I'm here to just enlighten you on the thought process about behind the things that we hear. So let's do this. Whenever it comes to any kind of Bible verse that's quoted, it's always super, super, super helpful to read that Bible verse in context. So let's do this. That verse, or that saying, "the truth will set you free," is actually only half of the verse that it's contained in. And then it's only, that verse is only one of two verses that go together sort of inseparably. So the full verse that goes along with that, it says, "then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." All right. Ooh, then. Well, what does then what? Like, what has to happen in order for us to know the truth and for the truth to be able to set you free? So the verse that goes before that, by the way, this is from one of the books in the Bible, in the New Testament of the Bible. It's from the book of John. John was one of the followers of Jesus, and so he wrote down some of his sayings. And so this is in John chapter 8, in verse 31 and 32. And it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" That's a little bit different. That's a little bit different than just "the truth will set you free," right? Helps to have some context. All right, let's think about this. That's verses 31 and 32. So in other words, there's been 30 previous verses in this chapter, which is the eighth chapter. So we're well into the book. We're well into this chapter. What's going on in this scenario? Well, what happened was Jesus came along. He came into the Jewish nation. The Jews were expecting a Messiah to come along, sort of a chosen one, the promised one to come along. Of course, a lot of people came along claiming to be that Messiah. Jesus as well came along claiming to be that Messiah. And of course, as I'm sure you can understand, there was a lot of debate. Well, how do we know? Like, if somebody came along today, in today's day and age, and claiming to be the Messiah, they would probably end up in a psych ward, okay? But that was not the case back then, because Jesus was performing miracles. He was giving some very legitimate proofs that he was indeed the Messiah. And so naturally people were like, "Oh, well, I don't know. What do you think?" And so there was all this discussion. And most people were very, very, very skeptical. They did not want Jesus. They didn't, because they were expecting something completely different. They were under the rule of the Roman Empire, and they were expecting a Messiah to come along to free them from the Roman Empire. And when Jesus came along, he started preaching the kingdom, which we're going to get into in the next saying. But his idea of kingdom was something completely different than what they were expecting and what they were wanting. So they had a really, really difficult time agreeing with him. And so you can understand then that if there were some Jews who actually believed him, then wow, yeah, this is, you would say, like, if for example, if you wanted to start a Facebook group, you know, in today's day and age, you would want these kind of people in your Facebook group, like the people that are actually supporting you, that actually are behind you, and that are risking, literally, these guys were risking their lives and their livelihood to support and believe in Jesus. And so you would think Jesus would say, "Oh, guys, thanks so much, you know, for being a part of my Facebook group, you know, my loyal followers and supporting me in this way." But that's not what he said. He actually challenged them. And he said, "Hey, look, it's not enough to just say that you believe in me, to sort of get on the bandwagon, so to speak. You actually have to prove it by, you know, actually doing what I'm saying. These things that I'm talking about, you actually have to put them into practice. You have to practice what I'm preaching, essentially, is what he was saying. So to these Jews who had actually believed in him, to believe that he was the Messiah, he said, if you hold to my teaching, if you do what I say and put this stuff into practice, those are the people that are really my followers, really my disciples. When you do that, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So much bigger context and understanding when you know, self-development and personal help, and anybody who throws out this saying of, you know the truth and the truth will set you free, you have a little bit more better context now of what that means. Because honestly, when you think, when somebody says that the truth will set you free, like, what in the world does that even mean? First of all, you have to explain, or you have to figure out, okay, what do they mean by the truth? What do you mean by the truth will set us free? And then what do you mean by freedom? Set us free in what way? So there's a lot of questions to be asking about that particular saying that we hear an awful lot. I'm not going to go any more into any kind of the answers. I would encourage you to do a little research on that, or any other sayings that you've heard that you might have some questions about. Okay, let's get into one other one. And this other one, I kind of referred to it earlier when I was talking about Jesus talking about the kingdom. It's this saying that the kingdom is within you. Maybe you've heard that one as well. The kingdom is within you. That's one actually in particular I've heard a lot, where people will say, you know, all of the spiritual teachers, that's just so funny to me, all the great spiritual teachers will tell you, or have said in one way or another, all the great spiritual teachers like the Buddha and Jesus will say in one way or another that the kingdom is within you. Well, again, first of all, what does that even mean? What are you saying? When you say that, what are you saying? What do you mean by that, that the kingdom is within you? Here's what I think. I think this whole idea of going within, you'll hear that a lot. Going within. Now, here's the thing. Literally, just this morning, I was scrolling through my Instagram feed, and I have one that's dedicated to Christian affirmations. So I was scrolling through that, and there was one of a very, 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 very famous pastor. I won't mention any names, but he was saying that he was sort of criticizing this idea of going within. He said that, you know, if you want to find out the purpose for your life, he said, you know, a lot of, you know, self-help gurus out there, like that. That's the other thing I just have to say. I can't tell how many times I've heard this idea that, you know, quote unquote self-help gurus are like a joke or something. That's a whole nother message, I think, for another time. But I hear that a lot from the pulpit, from preachers, from pastors that say that self-help gurus are like leading you astray, or are a waste of time, or are not really giving you what you really need. And I completely, wholeheartedly disagree with that. If it wasn't for the life coach that I've had, I would be very stuck in my life. And so I think the work that life coaches, and not all of them, I know that there are some really whacked out self-help gurus out there. I could see why they get a bad name, but not all of them. You can't just lump the whole field of self-help as and label it as bad because of a couple of wonky folks. Anyhow, but a lot of them will say this saying, the kingdom is within you. And so this guy that I was sort of reading the words of what he was saying that, you know, if you want to find out the purpose for your life, you know, many people will tell you to go within. And he's like, that's just rubbish. You know, you can't go within. You got to go to God. Well, I understand what he's saying, but I also am a very big advocate for going within, because I do believe that the Spirit works within you. Hello. So, anyhow, that's a whole nother tangent. I'm making mental notes here as I, you know, I can talk about other things on other podcasts, but right now we're talking about this saying of the kingdom is within you. So let's talk a little bit about the context of this one. Okay, now, as I mentioned in the previous one, Jesus had come into this place, this nation that was expecting a Messiah, and they were expecting a certain kind of kingdom to be established. And Jesus comes in and he's got all these opponents, and these opponents, a lot of them were called Pharisees. They were a certain type of religious, they were the religious elite of their day. And they really challenged Jesus, and they were opponents of Jesus. And so they got into this discussion, and this passage where this saying comes from is from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And it says, Jesus says, and by the way, in this particular verse, he's talking to these Pharisees that are opposing him. And he says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now that particular translation, see, again, you have to understand, we're reading scriptures that were written thousands of years ago in a completely different context, in completely different worldviews, in a completely different language. So the study of scripture is, you know, a huge field, a huge discipline. And what we have in the English, there's like even hundreds of different translations of these ancient Hebrew and Greek texts. So this particular verse that I just read, this saying, the kingdom of God is within you, that's from the New King James Version. I believe there's an old NIV translation of that. What's interesting is that of all of the hundreds of different English translations of this particular verse, there's only like two or three that translate what Jesus said as the kingdom of God is within you. And so it's only a relatively recent thing where this saying, the kingdom is within you, even came about. All of the other translations say it as the kingdom of God is amongst you, or it's in your midst. Now, that's a very interesting thing if you think about it, because what Jesus was saying was, hey, I'm amongst you. I'm in your midst. It's almost like Jesus is referring to the fact that he is the kingdom. Because he was among them. He was in their midst. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus was talking to these people that opposed him. And some people would argue that, well, clearly the kingdom of God was not in them, in the people that he was talking to. So when he was saying the kingdom of God is within you, he was not talking to those people that he was speaking to. So fascinating, right? It's fascinating to see and hear the context, the original context of these sayings. So the kingdom is within you. What did Jesus mean? He was saying that the kingdom is not going, the kingdom of God was not going to be established as something like, oh, over on the corner of Fifth Street and LaSalle Avenue, that's where the church is going to be. Like, no, it's not something that you see. It's a intangible thing. Unless, of course, he's speaking of himself. But he's clearly not saying that the kingdom of God by default is automatically within each and every one of us. I think what he's saying is that the opportunity to participate in his idea of kingdom, what that means is within your grasp. It's something that you can participate in, that you can attain to, given that that is your decision. And then, of course, what happens within you is, you know, another matter that involves the Holy Spirit and all this other kind of fun stuff. But I just thought it would be interesting today to discuss these, I think, often very misquoted personal development sayings. The truth will set you free. The kingdom is within you. They sound really nice and whatever, but you know, what do they really mean? So I hope what I've done here is I've sort of inspired you to think a little bit deeper about, you know, whatever it is that you hear, even what you hear me saying on this podcast. I don't claim to know everything there is to know about everything. But I do know the truth will set you free, and the kingdom of God is within your grasp. It's something that you can participate in. That whole idea, that whole concept of the kingdom is something for me that is changing as well. I used to associate the kingdom as the church, which is really unhealthy. What Jesus was talking about was something very radical. He was talking about this. Well, here, now I feel like I'm getting on a soapbox and preaching. That was not my intent. Maybe we'll save that for another time. I'll keep you waiting on the edge of your seat. Wait, you were just about to talk about what you thought the kingdom is all about. Okay, this is something that's been a conversation that's been going on for years. But anyhow, I hope you did get something out of this, and hope it. You know, you come back if you want to find out more. You can visit the show notes page at thedreamhighway.com/57. As I said, this is episode 57. I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this time around, and we'll catch you next time on The Dream Highway. So long for now.